Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. On this show, we help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. And I often believe one of the best ways that we can learn is by keeping our mouths closed and listening to other people's questions. Very often, we can learn so much when someone else asks a question. You might not think it has any relevance to you, but very often it does. So on today's show, it's our Q&A episode where I'll answer some of your questions. You can always leave us a voicemail message by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. So leave us a voicemail message. Ask any question you want as it relates to real estate investing or investing in general, taxes, the market, broader conditions, whatever is on your mind, we will answer it. And we have links in the description of the show if you want to click on that directly and be taken right to that place where you can leave us a voicemail. Okay, our first question today comes to us from Lamont. Let's listen and see if we can answer this question.
Hey, Clayton. This is Lamont out of Columbus, Ohio. I have a partner that I'm trying to start real estate investing with about. We have about $30,000 in cash together that we want to start with. What do you recommend is the best way for two amateur investors to get in this this industry?
Well, thanks, Lamont. I mean, there's a couple of key things you said there. Number one, amateur investors. So I love that you're being honest with yourself, saying, look, I don't know what I don't know. There's a lot to learn, right, when you're just getting started. But I think it's also brilliant because we have a partnership program at our company at Morris Invest, where multiple friends, partners can come together. They form, you know, an LLC together. Maybe they each put in 10, 15,000. In your case, you have 30,000 to work with. Great. You could open up an LLC together. You could buy a rental property together as a partnership. Now, again, I'm not a legal advisor. I'm not a lawyer. And you'll definitely want to talk to, like, if you book a call with our team, we can actually walk you through that process. And we have a great legal team that we work with that can set that up properly. You know, what happens in the event that one of the partners disappears, right? That's all written into the language of the LLC. That's going to be written into your partnership. We know that you don't think that that might happen, but it often does happen. Somebody gets sick, there's an issue. You just cannot do it verbally. You've got to have it put to paper. And if you bring in another partner, a three-way partnership, a four-way, you know, you're each contributing $10,000-$15,000, and that's a down payment. You know, there, then you can go the non-recourse lending route, which is brilliant. So getting a non-recourse loan, that's something that you can do on a rental property, so that because you are buying it in a business name, that's very, very simple to do. And a bank is going to lend on the asset itself. It's not going to worry about you or your specific partners. Maybe one of you has bad credit. That's not going to matter as much, because you're buying with a non-recourse loan. Again, it's not, there's no recourse against you. It's on the asset itself. And it enables you to go further. I mean, look, that means you don't have to put all of your money into this pool. You can spread it across, having multiple partners, multiple friends involved in this process. Like I said, that's one of the programs that we have at Morris Invest. If you go to our website and book a call with our team, we have a lot of people that come together, pool their money, and buy their very first rental property. And again, it's fully, so what we do is it's fully done for you, you know, so there's no having you to lift a hammer. There's not having any of that. You guys are able just to cash flow on a great brand new construction property that has a tenant in place by the property management team. So as an amateur, that would be my recommendation, is don't try to do this all yourself. Don't try to just randomly go out and try to find properties right now. Try to hiring contractors, finding property management companies, making sure that you're in the right real estate market, all of that. You can do that, but I would say that is a job. Like, you really have to put your time, attention, and effort into finding those markets, finding those properties, finding the right contractors. All of that stuff has to be discussed between you and your partner. Now, I've got full videos here on the channel. I'll link it up in the description below so you can watch the videos on the partnerships and what I advise partners to do. So check out those videos. And I also going to include a video there for you to go deeper if you want to do this all on your own. Like, what are the steps that we look for in different rental markets? And I take you through the data points on what we look for, from vacancy rates to crime rates to all of that. So if you guys do want to start a business where you guys are going to go out and find properties yourself, you're going to rehab them yourself, or you're going to build new construction from the ground up, I give you all of the tools that we use internally to help you find the right markets, the right team, and all of those things. So Lamont, good luck to you. I think that's great that you're partnering up. Maybe if you can, you know, bring in another friend or whatever, and to even give you more leverage in that space, that'd be fantastic. But I think you're definitely on the right path. And so thank you for your question, Lamont. Good luck to you. And can't wait to hear your progress over the next year. Okay, our next question comes to us from Steven. Steven, take it away.
Hey, Clayton. I hope you and your family are having a great vacation. Happy Monday. My question is pretty simple. How do I start from nothing and try to buy a home? So I just managed to get my credit score up. I haven't even gotten a credit card yet or anything like that. And I'm working with cryptocurrency and stocks and everything like that. I'm trying to build up my portfolio. My portfolio is positive right now. And in paper trading, I made about $10K. But where do I go from here realistically? Like what is realistically the next step? If you can, I guess hit me back. Thank you.
Thanks, Steven. Great question. So I'm glad to hear that you are positive. Obviously, you're doing paper trading, so you're learning, right? So you're putting pen to paper and you're focusing on how I can turn some short-term profits into long-term gains. I think eventually you're going to want to obviously start to use some of your own money. Now, there's two things, right? If you don't have any money, well, you need money to invest in real estate, right? The bottom line is you're going to need money. And so how do you do that? Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you were listening to my phone call with Lamont, then, you know, you're going to want to try to partner up with some friends, some business partners that you can come together with and maybe pool some of your money. Maybe each of you are putting in $10,000, $15,000 or $5,000, and you're getting that money that you can situate for like a $40,000, $45,000 down payment on a rental property that can start to cash flow. That's a great way to get started, right? So that the liability leverage is spread out over multiple people. That's one way to do it. The other thing I will say is, and I've mentioned this on other shows, you know, if you don't have money, there are three things you need in real estate investing, right? There's money. You need money to invest. You need people. You need a good team of people or just a group that can push you in the right directions. And you need a great deal. You need a property, right? And so, you know, if you don't have money, then you're going to have to go to real estate meetup groups. You're going to have to find other people and you've got to bring something to the table. So this is where, look, if it was this easy, everyone would do it, right? So what are you going to bring to the table? Are you going to bring grit and determination and perseverance? It sounds like that's the type of person you are, Stephen, given the fact that you're studying and working and learning and pushing and pushing and learning how to become an investor, right? So sounds like you have that adrenaline, right? That the wherewithal to do that. So maybe that's the skill that you bring to the table, right? And so when you go to a local real estate meetup group and you're developing these relationships, or maybe you have a group of peers that you're friends with that you want to start investing, what maybe a couple of your friends have the money, but they don't have the time to find deals, well, maybe that's where you step in. You say, look, I don't have the money, but I do have the time. And so you have to build these relationships. And what a value do you bring to the table? If you don't want to go the partnership route or you just don't want to go that route, then again, I would say focus on these small-term wins that you're doing right now, whether it's in the crypto space or stocks, and you're taking those small-term profits, right? But you've got to convert those, in my opinion, to long-term buy and hold real estate as the ultimate hedge against inflation and as the ultimate store of value. And as to me, the greatest way to the greatest way to build and preserve wealth of any asset that's available is in real estate investing. So I would say, you know, trying to find ways that you can turn that, and it doesn't have to take long, turn that $200 into $500, that $500 into $1,000, and that $1,000 into $5,000. And through that steady investing, taking those profits and then rolling those into real estate investing, that's really the way to do it. You may also want to consider, Steve and I didn't even bring this up, but I've got full videos here on the channel where you might find that there's untapped money available for you that you just haven't even thought about. Whether it's in retirement accounts that you can borrow from, whether it's in an old IRA from a company that you left a number of years ago, it's just been sitting there. Well, you can use that as leverage. So there are ways, whether it's a 401k, an old IRA, to actually pull some of that money together to start to build wealth as well. So anyway, I hope I've given you some ideas that maybe can spark you in the right direction. And ultimately, if you literally are like, I have no money and I want to start figuring out how to get money. Susan Lasseter-Lyons, a good friend of ours, a good friend of the show, a brilliant investor. She's done billions of dollars in deals. She wrote a great book a number of years ago called Getting the Money, Getting the Money by Susan Lasseter-Lyons. I checked that book out because she walks you through step by step, like if you have no money, how to start building the relationships, the pitch sheet, the finding the deals, all of those things to pitch to investors that they're going to be able to bring you the money, basically. So it's a great book. And again, if you have the ambition and you have the drive, then I think you can absolutely do it, Stephen. So thanks for the question. Okay, our next question comes to us from Jen. Jen, take it away.
Hey, Clayton, this is Jen. I have a question about pets. Should I allow my tenants to have pets, or should I do pet free? What are the pros and cons of both? Thanks.
Pets. Okay, good question on pets. So pets in rental properties. Years ago, I did a video on why I like having pets in rental properties. Because, look, as a pet owner, and if you've ever moved, you know how difficult it is to find rental properties that allow pets. And weren't you at the time when you found a rental property, maybe when you were younger and you had a cat or you had a dog, that it would allow you to stay there? You ended up staying probably for longer. Because you knew how difficult it was to move and to try to find a pet-friendly house. So for me, that brings longevity to having a tenant in the property, right? They're just going to stay longer. And so I like that. I like, first of all, I'm pet-friendly. I have a dog. If you watch my show, you know my dog, Grover. So I am pet-friendly. I like cats. I like dogs. And I'm okay with that. As a landlord, I don't care personally. You know, I mean, I've got durable floors. I've got yards, backyards, and it's a great incentive for a homeowner to have a pet that can go in the backyard and so forth. That's an incentive when they see a fenced in backyard. So that's something that we do in a lot of our properties at Morris Invest. And it also, in some ways, depends on your property management team. You can speak to them about actually having a pet deposit and a higher amount that you would charge for rent. I know that in one of my Michigan properties a number of years ago, we were able to charge, I believe it was, I don't quote me on this because I'm forgetting, but it was like $50 or $90 or something to have a pet added to the lease. It was a big backyard, had a fence, and I thought this is a perfect property for a pet owner to rent from us. That tenant ended up staying for many, many years as a result. And great tenant, no trouble, no damage with the dog. You know, I'm not really worried about that. I'm going to do a tenant turnover cleanup anyway after they move out. So we're going to, you know, if there's a carpet, we're going to probably replace carpet, et cetera. But for the most part, we've got durable floors in a lot of our properties. There's no carpet. And I'm not really worried about that. But of course, these are things you might want to talk it over with your property management company and find out, you know, do they require some sort of a pet insurance? You know, what happens if on the lease, you know, the pet, if there's a large dog or some issue arises because they've got a large dog, that may be a problem. A large dog that has a propensity to bite. You know, you certainly don't want that liability falling on you as the landlord, and making sure that the lease, your lease with the tenant is protective of that issue. That's, again, something to speak with on your property management front to find out, you know, are there restrictions? Maybe the dog can't be over 40 pounds or 30 pounds. Again, conversations to have with your property management company. And they've been through this. They know it like the back of their hand. They'll have answers. They'll have everything taken care of for you. So this is not something for you to sweat. But in my opinion, I don't mind having pets in properties at all. I find that they stay longer and you may be even able to get a higher amount for rent because of having the pet in the property. So Jen, thank you so much for the question. Again, you can ask any questions you want by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's me, Clayton, and ask away. Just click on the little button. Try to keep them to like 30 seconds or under. And all of you did that today. So thank you for that. And we will attempt to answer them right here on the show. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. See you next time.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.